I would like to welcome back to the show a good friend of ours, been on the show many, many times, one of my heroes. It's Dick DiBartolo. He's Mad's maddest writer and the co-host of the Giz Whiz show. You can check out gizwhiz.biz for more information. Dick DiBartolo, longtime writer for Mad, worked on Match Game and other things, and is a gizmo fanatic. And we want to welcome Dick to the show. Dick, welcome back, sir.
It's great to be here. This is really wonderful.
Yeah.
And, you know, you have to clean up your act on how to use Skype.
Okay.
You know, Dan sent me this list. Go to a phone booth. Use Bitcoins. Use the name Stella Rose. Anyway, it was fine.
It's a complicated technology, Dick, as you know.
Yeah, I know.
How you been, sir?
I've been super. How about you?
Not bad. Good to hear from you. It's it's the holidays, and we thought it would be fun to maybe get you on to talk about some gizmos a little bit later on that people would want for Christmas and that kind of stuff.
Absolutely. Yeah. I actually did tell your producer Dan that I mostly do weird offbeat stuff, and he said, "Oh, that works for us."
Yeah, so. No, that's right up our alley, Dick. As you know, you've been on the show before.
Yes, so, exactly. And amazed it's still on.
You and me both, Dick. Listen, let's go back. You know, it's been a while since you've been on the show, and there's some people who probably maybe have not heard you on the show before. I, of course, know you for your work in, of course, Mad Magazine, which, you know, is an integral part of my childhood, and also your work on Match Game, which is also an integral part of my childhood. Please, again, I know you've told it a bunch of times. Please tell everybody how you got the gig at Mad Magazine. It's a great story.
Oh, okay. And it's apropos because, unfortunately, about 2 months ago, Nick Meglin, who got me my career at Mad, just had a heart attack and just passed away.
Oh.
The only up thing was he had just come back from a cartoonist's convention and was a lead speaker and had done very well and had tons of applause. And the next day he passed on.
Oh.
But I mean, it was amazing. It was back in the 60s. I was in high school. I was reading Mad. After a while, I thought, I don't want to read this. I want to write this.
Yeah.
So I bought a book called Write Your Yearbook. And in it told you what magazines would accept submissions without an agent. A lot of the big magazines won't read something unless you get an agent to present it to them. Fortunately, Mad was on the list of we'll take anything from anybody. So I sent him a thing, and the Writer's Yearbook had said over and over, send a self-addressed stamped envelope, because if your work is rejected and there's no envelope for them to shoot it right back to you, they'll just throw it away. Mm. So a few weeks later, my envelope comes back with my own handwriting, my own postage. I am so depressed. And I figure, you know, maybe they will say, oh, it's almost good. Anyway, I open the envelope and I pull out, it's stuffed with cardboard.
Uh-huh.
And on the cardboard, it says, ha, ha, ha. Thought your script got rejected. Stapled to this cardboard is a check for $100, big money back in for a kid in his 60s.
Oh yeah!
And please call me. I want to talk to you about working more from Mad. Signed, associate editor Nick Meglin.
Yeah.
I went up there a bunch of times, and he said, you know, you should be writing movies, and you should be writing books, and so thanks to him, I have now been in every issue of Mad for about 51 years.
Isn't that amazing? That's so amazing. Now, Dick, do people, you know, come up to you, you know, because I'm 53 years old, and so people around my age, maybe a little bit older, did they constantly come up to you and say how much Mad meant to them when they were kids?
You know what? Fortunately, they do. It's one of the wonderful things about Comic Cons is to hear that from people. And I used to, you know, not think much about it. And then once I was telling somebody, a Mad fan, about that Sid Caesar got me into wanting to write satire. Do you remember Show or Show?
Oh, of course.
Or
are
you
yes.
too young?
No, no,
kid?
No. Okay. No, of course. Okay. I remember, yeah.
Yeah, okay. So Sid Caesar was appearing in the Village doing a one-man show 20 years ago. And I went to the stage manager and gave him my card and said, he inspired me. I work for MAD. And he said, oh, hang on. Let me go talk to him. So I went back, and Sid said, yeah, he'd love to talk to you. So I went back, and I thanked Sid for getting me started, for all the years of comedy. And after I told that story, this fan said, now, do you realize when people come up to you and thank you for what you've done, that they feel about you the way you felt about Sid Caesar? And that was the time at which I thought, oh, you know what? I'm really thrilled that people come up to me.
Yeah.
So it's great.
It's
great.
No, that's it's everybody has, you know, those you know, seminal heroes of theirs. You know, it doesn't it's all generational, you know. And though it's a great story about Sid Caesar, boy, you know, cuz I mean that guy was a comedy legend.
Yes, absolutely. Absolutely. Now, have you ever I know you've only been doing this for what, 10 years?
No, longer, much longer. Much longer. I'm in my
Oh, okay. Yeah. Have you ever had the joy of anybody ever coming up to you and saying they enjoyed the show?
Oh yeah. No, it's a thrill every time, Dick. It really is. It's very, very humbling. And as you know, Dick, it's very late at night, and I'm on late at night, and that's kind of a, you know, it's an important and intimate time of night to be on the air. You really connect more with your listeners, you know, because it's a very sort of like a lot of the listeners are awake and they can't sleep. A lot of listeners are maybe in bed or they're awake because they're either sick or they have to take care of a baby. So I have a real, at this hour of working with the radio on the radio station, I have a real connection with my listeners that's pretty deep, and it always means a lot to me.
Yeah. Well, you know, I also do a monthly spot on World News Now, mm-hmm. which is the overnight news.
Right.
And my spots run like 2:45 in the morning.
Yeah.
And it is amazing how many people are around at that hour, either workaholics who are already getting up.
Yeah.
Or workaholics who are just going to bed, right. But they want to catch the news.
Right.
You know?
Exactly. Exactly. So that's a great story. Tell everybody about some of the stuff that you wrote for MAD. What are some of your favorite things that you wrote? Because
The Poop Side Down Adventure,
right.
is one of my favorites.
Right.
And what's fun about writing a satire is if you can get a running gag. And so in the Poop Side Down Adventure, you know, the ship turns upside down. And so it's a series of gags with the chef in the kitchen saying, I was going to make a pineapple upside down cake. I guess I should make a pineapple right side up cake. and then the minister is saying, you know, we'll get out of this. We're going to ask God to shower his mercy down upon us. Or wait, is he showering his mercy up upon us?
Right.
So when
right.
you get a gag, yeah. And then the towering Sterno.
Mm-hmm. Did you? You, you did.
One.
You did the Jaws satire too, didn't you?
Yeah, I did Jaws too.
Yeah.
And there are certain things. I remember one joke from towering Sterno that broke me up is. They're trying to find out why the building caught fire. And the architect is saying, look at this. You plugged an electric razor, a radio, and a fan in the same outlet, and you didn't expect a fire to occur?
Right. Yeah. Those are good. And I loved all the movie satires because I've been a movie freak my whole life, Dick. So those were always favorite things. Those were some of my favorite things in MAD.
Me
By the way,
too.
I want to mention quickly, our good friend Rich Coase, who is Svengoolie, the horror host.
Oh, my gosh, yes.
He's my good friend, and he was featured in the last episode of MAD.
Yes,
yeah.
Yes. Well, tell him hello because I watch him.
Yeah, he's great.
I love when he drops his little images into the movies.
Yeah, yeah.
It's very funny.
But
he was.
I mean, he was so proud of being a part of Mad Magazine. He was beside himself that they did a story about him, and they had one of the best artists that's working at Mad, and now I'm blanking on his name, who did the artwork for the piece, and it was a really funny piece. And he was actually here at GN filling in a few weeks ago. And
he Is that show done in Chicago?
Yeah, yeah, yeah. Oh, yes. Oh. Svengoolie is done, just not very far from where we are right now, where it's shot.
Cool.
And he's been in Chicago forever, and so he was just thrilled. He was walking around with the copy of Mad here in the offices, and I got to read it, and it was just fantastic. See, it's a big deal. Mad's a big deal, Dick. It really is. It's a big deal.
You know, it's a big deal, especially with guys like 40 and up.
Who yes. Yes.
Grew up with it.
Yep.
And, yeah.
Okay.
No, I love my association with them. You know what? You know who Lin-Manuel Miranda is?
I do.
Okay. My favorite thing in the world, well, two things. One is you love old movies. On my bucket list, it was, I think, 2011 or 2013, I got to host a night of movie satires with Robert Osborne on TCM.
Oh, that's awesome.
That was awesome.
Yeah.
And the other thing was John Ficarra, the editor of Mad, came in one day and said, "Did you see what Lin-Manuel Miranda tweeted?" And I said, "No." And he said, "It's about you." And I said, "Why is it about me? I don't know the man." And he said, "Go on Twitter." So I went on Twitter, and it said, "As long as Dick DiBartolo is writing for Mad Magazine, everything's going to be good with the world, biting satire now and forever."
Oh, wow.
And, I know. Exactly.
That's
exactly.
Awesome.
So yeah. We became Twitter friends.
Yeah.
And I said, "You want to come up to Mad?" And he goes, "Are you kidding me?" he came up and we spent 90 minutes together. And I'm thinking, now that's something for someone like that,
right?
To
the creator of
compliment.
The creator of Hamilton, yeah, yeah. All right, Dick, hang on, okay?
Yep.
Okay, Dick DiBartolo is with us. He is a great writer for Mad Magazine. Wrote for Match Game. We'll talk about that, and we're going to talk about some of the weird gizmos that might be available for you to purchase at Christmas. We're going to take a break here now for the news, and then more with Dick after this. All right, welcome back, everybody. It's Nick DiGilio here on 720 WGN. We're live in the Allstate Skyline Studio, and we're here until 5 a.m. It's Thursday night. We're not doing Triple Play Thursday. Dan's not here this morning, so we're going to skip that. But we'll be here till 5, and we're going to talk about actors and actresses who always get cast as weirdos. And we've got more to talk about as well right here on 720 WGN. Right now, I'm really, really thrilled to have back on the show Dick DiBartolo. He is Mad's maddest writer. He is the co-host of the Giz Whiz show. He's a gizmo freak. You can check out gizwhiz.biz for more information. And let's bring Dick back. Dick, welcome back, man.
Oh, great to be back.
All right. Okay, so I want to talk a little, you know, I hope you don't get tired of talking about Match Game, because that is still one of my favorite things.
Oh, no, I love Match Game.
I still watch the reruns, you know, to this day. And there was, you know, that time period there in the 70s, you know, when that show was at its peak, there was nothing funnier on TV. And you know, the three regulars, Richard Dawson, Charles Nelson Reilly, and Brett Summers.
Brett Summers.
They were
Brett
so great.
Summers.
Yeah, so what are some of your... Now, first of all, tell everybody now, because the game that most people remember, the Match Game that most of us remember from the 70s, it didn't start out that way at all. Can you tell the story about that?
Yeah, absolutely. I was hired a year contract to write Match Game, and... the friend who hired me said, "Listen, Goodson got this new game," and he explained it. And he said, he's worried about there'll be enough questions. And he said, "We want to hire you to write 5,000 questions like in the next 2 months. Can you do that?" And I said, "Yes." But the questions were, name a red flower, name something you do with an egg, name something you do on a date, name something you serve with bacon. Questions like that. Name a president who appears on currency.
Yeah.
And 10 months in, Goodson called me and he said, "Listen, NBC's not picking up the contract." And he said, "I'm just telling you now so you can put out some feelers." And I said, "Oh, okay." So over the weekend, I was thinking about it. And on Monday, I went back and I said, "Listen, Goodson, you know I work for Mad." He goes, "I know." I said, "Well, why are we doing these dumb questions when we could be doing silly stuff like John liked to pour gravy, Mary liked to pour gravy on John's blank?"
Right.
And that was the first thing I ever wrote. And so Goodson laughed like you did. And he says, what are they going to say? I said, they're going to laugh, and then they're going to say mashed potatoes, pot roast. Right. I said, but you'll get the laugh in.
Right.
And he said, well, look, it's canceled. They can cancel it twice. Do what you want.
Right.
And a month of that, and the ratings picked up, and it went on and on and on and on.
Yeah. And so now, are you responsible for? So you're responsible for some of the classic characters that were on those questions.
Yes. Yeah. They were all they're all politically incorrect now. But I had Mr. Periwinkle, the old man.
Old man Periwinkle. Yeah. Yeah.
Old man Periwinkle. Yeah. Dumb Dora. Dumb Donald. Weird Willie, all those people.
Yeah, and I every single time I laugh. Every single time Gene Rayburn, who was the best, would go into his old man Periwinkle. Always my favorite.
He loved doing that.
Yeah,
he loved doing that.
Yeah, and now they would film 5 episodes a day. Correct? When they would tape 5 a day.
5 a day. Well, yeah, 5 a day, but just once a week. And in California, since in New York, they let the celebrities go out to lunch because there are a million restaurants around the studio.
Right.
But at CBS, it was harder for the cast to go find places to eat. And so it was easier to do a catered lunch so that they would keep them in the studio.
Right.
And they would serve wine. So that's why usually the Wednesday, Thursday, and Friday shows are sillier than the Monday, Tuesday show. So it's tape Monday, Tuesday, take an hour and a half break, tape Wednesday, Thursday, Friday.
Right. Yeah, and the results are so great. It's still on. You know, we have a channel. There's obviously the Game Show Network, and there's also Buzzer.
Buzzer is showing more, I think, these days than Game Show Network.
Yeah, yeah. Game Show Network has now got all the new stuff that's generated from you know that they do and the classic stuff. Now Buzzer shows more of the classic stuff, which is the stuff that I like to watch. I was watching the other day, Dick, and it was an episode where Charles was late, so Mark Goodson was sitting in Charles' spot. And
right.
And did the first question while they were waiting for Charles to show up. Charles showed up and they said that he had to have his hair redone or something. And so there was Mark Goodson, which played the first round, sitting next to Brett.
Oh, great.
Yeah, it was a really funny episode, a really, really funny episode. And we've talked about this before, the new Match Game with Alec Baldwin.
Oh, my God.
Yeah. I mean, there's no, you know, like the stuff like Pour Gravy on His Blank, that's a double entendre, and it's kind of funny, and, you know, but now it's not even a double entendre anymore. I mean, like, it's just, they're working blue now.
Oh, my gosh. I watched 2 episodes. I couldn't believe it.
Yeah.
I mean, everything that you would think of in the original Match Game and giggle to yourself, they would just write on the card.
Yeah. Yeah.
And it just took the fun out of it.
It does. It does. It takes the fun. I mean, that's the whole point is that's why the show works so well. Now, did you would send in the questions from New York when they went out to LA?
Exactly, Goodson said, listen, I'm moving the show to LA. He said, I'm redoing the format totally. He said, if you want, I'll move you to California. I said, Mark, I'm a native New Yorker. I said, Mad's here. I don't want to. He said, listen, I'm keeping, I had a corner office in the Seagram building. I mean, they treated me right up there. He said, I'm keeping this office. He said, stay here. He said, write him at home. I don't care. He said, as long as there's a Match Game, you'll have a job.
Yeah.
So I stayed in New York. I went out for a couple weeks when it first went on the air just to be there because they added 3 new writers in California. But I just stayed in the city. And then when Match Game went on hiatus, they would put me on To Tell the Truth or Family Feud or something.
Right. So you did work on some of the other game shows.
I did. I did. I worked on What's My Line? I worked on To Tell the Truth, and I worked on Family Feud.
I was watching the other morning. They had a To Tell the Truth on, and this was when Gary Moore was the host at this time.
Oh, you sure? Yeah.
They had Soupy Sales was on the panel, Peggy Cass, and it was just this sort of the legendary early 70s panel.
Kitty Carlisle.
Kitty Carlisle, of course, and Orson Bean, you know, those people who were always on the panels. And I love the old panel shows too to watch because you know, it's so interesting to watch. You know, the women would come out, like in the 60s panel shows, the women would come out, they would wear gowns, and the men were in suits, and they would, you know, stand up for the women when they would come by, you know, the contestants. And it just, it was a different time. It's so fun to watch those.
Yeah. You know, it used to drive Peggy Cash crazy, because when I was working on Truth, Peggy Cass, she dressed plain. She didn't care.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
And Kitty Carlisle was coming out of her dressing room with a feather boa on. And Peggy Cass said to me, "Where does she think she's going? To a nightclub? We're doing a game show."
Peggy Cass was always one of my favorites on those shows. And to tell the truth, this is what I've told people. You know, when we talk about game shows on TV, if you're watching an old sort of, you know, To Tell the Truth, always go with Peggy Cass. Like, if whatever her guess is, because she was like 90% of the time, she always nailed it and got it right. And she was hilarious.
That's very funny.
Yeah.
Can I tell you my favorite Brett Summers story?
Oh, my God. Please. Of course. Please. Yes.
This is the funniest story. So we had a contestant on Match Game who was just, you know, you can't have a wrong answer on Match Game, but this person was just in Twilight Zone. So after about the fourth answer of that didn't fit anything, Gene goes to ask a question, and Peggy says, "Gene, stop. Gene, are there no requirements to this to be on this program?" 20 minutes before the show, do you just go out in the street and say, you, you're going to be on Match Game?
Yeah.
Well, I thought that was the funniest thing that Brett ever did.
She you know, the byplay between her and Charles Nelson Reilly, for me, is like the key to the show. There was that period of time, Dick, when Richard Dawson plainly didn't want to be there. This was after he got Family Feud.
Yes.
And he still had a contract, I assume, for Match Game, and he had to be there, and he made it really known that he wasn't happy to be there. And that's
exactly.
And that's really when Brett and Charles took over the show.
Yes. Yes. And at one point, Iris Scutch said, "Richard, you look like you're unhappy here. If you want to leave, I can make it very easy for that to happen." Mm-hmm. And he was very upset. They introduced something called the wheel.
Right.
On Supermatch, everybody would pick Richard because he nailed the answers. And then they brought in this wheel so that the wheel told the contestant who was going to answer.
Right.
And he was really upset about that. And that was, I think, the beginning of it's really wanting to get out of there.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. Because, I mean, they did. Everybody picked Richard. I mean, if you watch these episodes.
Yeah, absolutely.
Everybody picked Richard.
Absolutely.
Well, listen, Dick, you know, what you created on Match Game, what you created on Mad is just so timeless and awesome and really had a huge, you know, impact on me as a kid and still now as an adult. And I just want to, you know, again, thank you for those things because it's just great stuff.
God, thank you.
Hang on, because when we come back, we got to talk about gizmos, okay? And we're going to talk about some
technology.
All right, hang on a second. Dick DiBartolo is with us. I love the guy. Mad's maddest writer. You can check out gizwiz.biz for more information. When we come back, we're going to talk about some of these weird gadgets and strange things that Dick likes to find. And we'll do that when we come back right here on 720 WGN. All right. Welcome back, everybody. Nick DiGilio here on 720 WGN. We're live in the Allstate Skyline Studios. It's a Thursday morning. We are here until 5 a.m. Steve Grzanich has the opening bell at 5 and the great Steve Cochran at 6 for your morning drive. My guest right now is the great Dick DiBartolo. Writes for Mad Magazine, wrote for the Match Game and all kinds of other great stuff. And he's also now the co-host of the Giz Whiz Show. And also coming up, the stories that matter with Vic Vaughn from the Northwestern Medicine Newsroom on WGN Radio. All right, let's get back to our conversation with Dick DiBartolo. Dick, welcome back.
I'm back.
Yes.
Here.
Now tell me about Giz Whiz TV, and you also have some. There are episodes of that you can check out. Giz Whiz TV. Tell everybody about that.
Yeah, well, so the gift was, believe it or not, is starting year 13 in February.
Has it really been that long? Wow.
Yes, I know. I started out with Leo Laporte, the tech guy, and we did it for 10 years. Then I moved over with a new co-host called OMG Chad Johnson.
Yeah.
Now, are you a Minecraft person?
I'm not a video game person, but please.
Neither am I.
Yeah.
Neither am I. But OMG Chad, I believe, has 3 million followers on his Minecraft show.
Oh, my God.
But he's the co-host with me on the Gizwiz show, which is like 45 minutes of silliness and silly gadgets. And so we have our own channel, which is gizwiz.tv. Mm-hmm. And then at gizwiz.biz are lots of gadgets and also, if you're listening to this, if you go to gizwiz.biz, in the middle, there's a whole column of stuff. If you click on a Dick's blog and log, I listed everything I'm going to talk about so that people can find it.
Yeah. Okay, great. Well, now, when did you start becoming interested in these gadgets and stuff like that? Have you always been curious about that stuff?
You know what? I owe Barbara Griff, who was producer to Tell the Truth, left to Tell the Truth in the 70s or 80s, whenever it was, and she went over to Metro Media and started a local show called Saturday Morning Live. And she called up one day and said, you know, your office was always full of gadgets. Would you ever come on and talk about gadgets? And I said, okay. I did it. And she said, you know, they kept inviting me back. And then someone at Regis saw me and said, can you do that for us? And then I, so yes, when I was a kid, I have a great life. When I was a kid, I did zero sports. In my basement, I had an L-shaped desk with a microphone, an amplifier, and a speaker out the window, and I could only broadcast to the lady next door. And I would play music for her when I came home from school. And then I had my trains. I am now a grown adult. I now have a microphone where I can talk to people around the world.
Right.
And I still have trains. I have trains in my living room. I have trains in my backyard, running trains in my backyard.
Wow.
So it's just great. My life has been a steady stream of things I like.
Lucky. That's great.
That happened.
What are some of the more recent things that you've discovered that you want to tell us about? Some of the weirder gadgets and things.
Oh, okay. The latest, and I'm putting a video up on YouTube tomorrow, is Reindeer Ring Toss. This is great to buy for Christmas parties or holiday get-togethers. It is badly, badly made, but it is so cheap. It's two complete sets for $11.
Wow.
So you blow up the reindeer antlers, and then you wear them on your head. And then people throw rings and try and catch the antlers. However, the antlers are too big to stand up, so they fall down over your shoulders. But they still catch rings, and it's the funniest reviews ever. Piece of crap.
Yeah.
But boy, was this fun. Right. So I recommend that.
Okay.
I recommend that.
All right. Reindeer Rain Toss. And the video is going to go up on YouTube. Okay.
YouTube. And you can also see, if you go to my website and follow that link to Log and Blog, there's a video there too.
Okay.
A viewer recommended this. I love this. It's called the Smash Mute Button.
The Smash Mute Button.
This is a giant mute button.
Yeah.
This is a giant 2-inch button that all it does is mute your TV set. So instead of picking up the remote and trying to find mute out of the 57 buttons in the dark, this you just lay on the table and you just smash it. And the sound goes off. When you see the commercial end, you smash it again, the sound comes back. It's $20, and you program it once. So easy. You turn the thing over, you put it on learn, you take your remote control, hit the mute button a red light will blink twice, then put it back on set, and now it knows the signal, the code to mute your TV.
Wow.
It's perfect.
That's great. And, you know, and I love the fact that you can smash it. Like, if maybe you don't like what's on TV.
Yes. Absolutely. That's what they call it. Actually, they call it the F-something smash button. But it's, yeah, you can just hit that. You can hit that hard and loud, and the sound instantly stops.
That's great.
That's great. Button lamp is they're tiny little LEDs with sticky backs that are to light dark, tiny places, like in a drawer. I have one at the top of my toolbox. I have two under my desk, so when a pen rolls under my desk, you just hit the button to turn them on, and you can find stuff in dark corners. And they batteries are not replaceable, but they are ridiculously cheap. Six of them are $9.
Oh, okay.
Yeah, so all button right. lamp.
The button lamps, okay, very cool.
Button lamp. The caloric Easy Pour waffle maker.
Okay.
I found this at the Houseware show, and I said to the woman, this is like a mess. She said, I'll send you one to play with. It's like the waffle iron stands not quite vertically, but on like a 90-degree plane, and there's an opening at the top, and you pour the batter in the top, and it's set up so that nothing leaks out of the gasket. But the waffle gets cooked, and then you open it, and you have a cooked waffle. So you don't pour batter directly onto the waffle iron. You pour it in the top. So it's an easy way to make perfectly round waffles.
Okay.
May take a couple of times to work out the thickness of the batter, but I think that's fun.
That's
perfect
fun.
Drink, smart scale. It came in, when it first came out, it was $100. They came out with a plastic scale. The first one is stainless steel, and it came out with a display and everything. They came out with Perfect Drink 2.0. It's a plastic scale. Instead of a digital readout, the app goes onto your phone.
Oh, okay.
I love this. It comes with a little cocktail shaker. You put the cocktail shaker on the scale. Then you put the drink you want, and it says, pour in vodka. And as you pour in vodka, on your phone, you see the cocktail shaker filling up, and you stop at the line. And then it tells you, now add this, and you add that, and then you stop when that line. So it's an easy way to make drinks. It has hundreds of drink recipes. The whole kit is $20.
Wow. Okay.
Yeah. It's very clever.
Very cool. Okay. And you can operate that through your phone.
Through your phone,
yeah,
exactly.
Okay.
Bluetooth. So it's Bluetooth between your phone and the scale. You want another silly game?
Yeah, yeah.
For Christmas Chow Crown. All right, it's a crown that goes on your head with five rotating plastic forks that you put marshmallows, strawberries, and then someone hits the top of the crown. The crown starts playing music and spinning. And the winner is who can eat the most food off the spinning fork. It's very funny. $15.
$15. That's great. I love the fact that a couple of these games involve just putting stupid things on your head.
Yes. Yes, exactly. And I also love that in the ad, in small print, it says, food not included.
Oh,
what, there are no strawberries in this box that's been sitting on the shelf for 5 months? I'm shocked.
All right, one more, Dick.
One more.
Okay.
All right, I'll do one really ridiculous one, okay? One out. This is not for you and me, okay? All right, it is Hover Shoes, all right?
Okay.
I found this at Interbike. So forget a hoverboard. Hover shoes are like two hoverboards you stand on. They're not connected, all right?
Uh-huh.
And as you lean forward or backward, you can go up to 7 miles an hour.
Wow.
Yeah. I mean, they are really well engineered. I mean, I couldn't stand on one of them at the Interbike show.
Right.
But they are an engineering masterpiece. They're $500. But if you're looking for something lunatic like,
yeah,
check out Hover Shoes.
Hover Shoes. Okay, that's great.
Hover Shoes.
All right. Yeah. Dick, always a pleasure to have you on. And you're the co-host of the GizWiz show. You can check out gizwiz.tv and gizwiz.biz for more information. I thank you for taking the time to join us, Dick. And we got to make it a little bit. So you got to get you on a little bit sooner than usual, okay?
Yeah, no, that'd be great. Okay. You're a great sport. I just have great fun doing this show.
Thanks, man. I appreciate it. Okay, Dick, take care, okay?
Okay, buddy. Take care.
There you go. Dick DiBartolo, everybody. Mad's maddest writer, co-host of the GizWiz show. I love that guy. He's been on the show many times, and he's kind of one of my heroes.